great to have you with us. Great to all be in one service. I still, on Saturday night, have to remind myself that I don't have to get up and be at the 8:30 service, and that it brings a smile to my face because I know we're all going to be together in one service, and I'm thankful for that. We are going to be thinking this morning on Stirring Up to Remind You series, the value of the cross, the value of the cross. In Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14, Paul wrote, "But far be it from me to boast, to have glory in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." What did Paul have to boast in besides the cross? Well, Paul had his heritage and his works as a Jew, Philippians chapter 3, 4 through 6, where he notes all the things that he had accomplished in Judaism and his lineage, and how he had risen to such fame and had attained many educational goals and much prominence in Judaism. He could have talked about his lineage, how he was a Pharisee, how he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He had a lot to boast of in his lineage and in his Judaism. He could have boasted in all the mission work he had done. He could have boasted about all the places he had gone, all the various places he had preached. You hear preachers sometimes come in, "I have preached in 40 different countries. I have been able to establish so many churches." Paul could have boasted in all the churches he had helped establish. Paul could have boasted in his sufferings for Christ. In fact, in the letter of 1st or 2nd Corinthians chapter 11, because of foolishness, Paul says, he had to boast in order to give a defense for the false accusations the false teachers were giving about him. And so he turns to boasting about his sufferings. He lists a long thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about all the sufferings, how many times he was beaten with rods, how many times he was shipwrecked, all the things that he had went through. He could have boasted in all of his persecutions and sufferings. He could have boasted in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about his visions and revelations and how he was called up into the third heaven and how he was able to have a vision of heaven and how he was able to go into paradise. And then how he had received revelations from Jesus. He could have boasted in all of his revelations and his inspiration of Christ. Paul could have boasted in his prominence as a preacher. Paul got to preach before Felix, before Agrippa, and before Festus, Acts 23 through 24. He could have talked about how he had appealed to the Roman Caesar and how he was going to be able to make his testimony before the Caesar and he was going to preach the gospel. I mean, if I preached before the U.S. president, if I preached before the Congress, if I went and led a prayer at the Kentucky Congress, I would probably come back and say, "Guess what I did this week, guys? I got to go up and lead a prayer before Congress." It's a pretty big deal. Paul got to preach before Felix and Festus and Agrippa and the Caesar. He could have boasted in that. But Paul says, "Far be it from me to boast. I don't have anything to boast in, anything to take glory in." Paul could have boasted in his wealth. It seems that at times Paul was very poor, but other times it seems that Paul had a significant amount of means. He could have boasted in his wealth. But Paul said, "Far be it from me to boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." What do you have to boast in? Maybe you could boast in your lineage, your heritage. Talk about your family and how significant your family is in this area or in this church. Or maybe you could boast in your works. You can boast in the things we typically think about. "I'm a three-time a week," or "I'm here every time the doors are open," or "I am one of those who tithes to the church. I always, and for years, I've given it 10%. We could boast in those things. We might boast in our wealth. We might say, "Well, I've got a great job. I've had that great job for years." We might boast in our family. "I've got a wonderful family." We can talk about our family and we talk about our children. We may talk about our grandchildren and boast about our grandchildren, right? And we understand that there's a significant amount of that that's very good, and we need to take pride in those things and we need to be thankful for those things. And it's all right to tell others about them and to share that pride with them. But I'm talking about, where do you put your glory? When you're laying there at night thinking, Is my life really meaningful? What really makes a difference in my life? Where do you go for that answer, for the significance, for the boasting, for the glory? What proves that my life has done something? And where do I take my glory? Paul says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a church, it could be that we look at our facility and we think we got a beautiful facility, and we do. We might think about our heritage and being in existence over 100 years in Mayfield. We might think about our long history. We might think about our church size or the numerous works that we've done and mission works all throughout the world. And we might think, what is our glory, our boasting as a church? Brother, I want to remind you as an individual, and I want to remind you as a church, that really the only thing we should put our hope in, the only thing we should put our glory in, the only thing we should put our stock in is the cross. That everything else, our wealth, our attainments, our heritage, our past works, everything else falls short and doesn't live up to what the cross is. The heart of the gospel is the cross. We must go to the cross. No man will ever boast at the foot of the cross. You see, when you think about your attainment, you think about your wealth, you think about all the things that we have done, and you stand at the cross, it really doesn't add up very much at the foot of the cross, does it? It doesn't raise very high up on the cross. No man will ever boast at the foot of the cross because our best is pitiful before it. No man can toot his own horn in the presence of Christ at the cross. The only thing you glory in at the cross is the grace of God. Paul determined to know nothing amongst us except Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Paul would say in chapter 1, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians that he came preaching Christ and Him crucified. The cross is a test for all of us. What does the cross do to us? Is it our glory and our boasting? We cannot remain neutral at the cross. We either reject it or we accept it. To accept it, we recognize our own spiritual bankruptcy without the cross. We cannot be good enough. We cannot earn our way to heaven. We cannot do enough good works. We cannot be what we should be in order to get to heaven without the cross. You see, we must be dependent upon the cross. And I want to remind you of four reasons why we should boast in the cross. The first reason is that we should boast in the cross because of the depth of our sinfulness. We think we know something about sin. We read about it in the newspapers. We see it on the TV. We are affected by it in our own lives. And we see it in our family. We've experienced alcoholism and divorce and sexual sins. And we ourselves have felt the guilt of our own sins and our dishonesty and our disobedience and our greed. And we know sin. We have affairs around. We have children suffering because of abusive parents. We have families going in want because of drunken fathers. We have whole groups that administer genocide against another race. We have wars amongst our world. We have all kinds of problems in our own community that our jail stays full. We know sin. But you know, you really don't know the awfulness of sin until you stand at the foot of the cross. And you look up to the cross and you realize that the reason God sent His Son and the reason Christ is on the cross is because of sin. In fact, the answer from heaven comes back when you ask, who is this dying and why is He dying? He is dying because of your sin. And He is my beloved Son. When we come to the realization that our own sin plucked God's Son from heaven and put Him on a cross suspended between earth and heaven, it is then the realization that my sin is bad and grace is not cheap, But grace cost God His own Son. Sin is no little evil. It is the second biggest force in this world. In fact, this world is affected more by sin, I would say, than anything else. Our world is a world that is sin-cursed. That's what Paul deals with in the book of Romans, chapter 1 through 3 and chapter 8. That's what the book of Genesis is really about, in that sin entered the world, Genesis chapter 3, and then because of that sin, Genesis chapter 5, death spread to all men. And we see the record of men dying because of sin. Adam and Eve are going to die. Cain is going to kill his brother Abel because of sin. Sin is the biggest force in this world, only lesser than one other force, and that is God's love. God's love is the only force greater than sin in this world, and it is God's love that triumphed at the cross. You see, to boast in ourselves or things of this world elevates our own stature as good and righteous. When we look at the cross, we realize, as Christ told the parable of the publican and the tax Pharisee in Luke 18, we realize that our attitude should not be like the Pharisee who pointed out all the reasons he had to boast. The Pharisee said in verse 11, he prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. You see, he ranked other men. He boasted that he was better than others. I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that guy. I'm better than that guy. I thank you I'm not like them. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I get. He boasted in his religiousness, in his spirituality. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. We need to be like that tax collector, who when we come to the cross, recognize our own sinfulness. We would not realize the depth of our sin if it was not for the cross. When we think about our cross, we are the cross of Christ. We're like Peter in Luke chapter 5, verse 8. When Christ would do that great catch of fish, Peter would fall down and say, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. The cross reminds us of our sin. But secondly, the cross reminds us of God's love. We should boast in the cross because of God's love. At the cross, we see the height of God's love. Just as sin is a tremendous force in this world, only greater is the love of God. So it is that the cross reminds us of God's love over sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, Paul is talking about this same concept. And he says, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His love is demonstrated for us in the cross of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is writing about the great love of God, and he says in verses 18, may we have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. You know, we never should get tired of reflecting upon the cross. The more we think about the cross, the more we are amazed at how much love it was. In fact, as Paul talks about, this is a love that surpasses knowledge. You can never fully grasp the great love God had for you at Calvary. That's why you need to be reminded of it. Because you're going to fall into the trap of various times feeling undeserving of it. You're going to feel like you, at other times, you're going to feel like you are earning it or deserving it, and you're going to want to boast in other things. And so you get either spectrum, whether you're feeling really low or you're feeling really high, whether you're in the valley or whether you're on the mountaintop about yourself, you need to be reminded that God's love was there for you. Because if you're low, it will lift you up. And if you are high, It will put you where you belong, realizing you are not sufficient on your own and you need God's love. You see, the height, the depth, the tremendous amount of love is truly seen at the cross. There's a story from the horse and buggy days of a young man who was engaged to marry a beautiful young woman. And they were out in the street that day, and all of a sudden he sees a carriage running away, and he looks up, and it is his fiancée in that carriage, and he instinctively darts out in the street and grabs the horses, and he is dragged behind the horses, holding on to those leather lines. But as he is stopping that carriage, he himself is being trampled by those horses. He gets them stopped. He saves her life. Keeps a great accident from happening. She gets off the carriage and she runs around to him. And he is very pale and bloodied and weak. And she looks at him and he says these words to her, "I loved you, Mary, didn't I?" In a like manner, when we look at the cross and we see Jesus bruised and bloodied and the blood flowing from his head and from his side, we hear him say to us, "I loved you, didn't I?" You see, when we stand at the foot of the cross and look up, and we ask the question, "Lord, do you love me?" We see the answer, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do." And so John 3:16 truly means what it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." We should boast only in the cross, because it's in the cross that we see the love of God. But number three, we should boast in the cross because it's in the cross that we have our message. The gospel message, the good news, is the message of the cross. Recently, a longtime preacher, I did not know him, named Ken Jones, died 4 years ago on one of the videos that Dale Jenkins does to encourage preachers, where he interviews preachers. He had interviewed Ken, and he had been preaching for almost 70 years. And he asked him what advice he would give to younger preachers. And here was the advice of Brother Ken. He said, "Learn the Word and preach anything you want to, as long as you don't get 50 feet from Calvary. You preach Jesus, and you'll be all right." I love that statement. It's fine to preach, and we need to preach the Old Testament. We need to preach the various letters of the New Testament. We need to preach from the Old Testament prophets. We need to study the Old Testament prophets and the books of history and the Psalms. But all those books should teach us and should remind us of the cross of Jesus. We need to study the letters of Paul and about how we're to live as a Christian. We need to study about marriage and about how we need to be as a husband, as a wife. We need to learn all these things about our speech and all the various morals of the New Testament. But brethren, all those things find their strength, find their capability of living those out in the cross of Jesus. The basic message we have is the one of a cross. You know, we think about marketing, and when we think about marketing, we market the church and we advertise the church and we talk about the programs of the church. But we don't sell the cross. We don't market the cross. The cross is our message. It is cannot be changed. And it is truly the drawing power. In John chapter 12, Jesus would speak of this idea when he says in verse 31 and following, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And he said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. The cross, Christ said, is going to draw people to me. It is the death of Jesus that converts people to Jesus. We need to try to do all we can to reach people. But you cannot reach people just by gimmicks and by entertainment or by giving them, as Jesus did, loaves and fishes. But Jesus also saw that group in the same chapter turn and leave because when they wanted to make him a king and he refused to be an earthly king, they left disappointed. You see, we need to understand that the only thing that really holds people is not just a care that we give or a good church or a good Bible class or a good program or a good youth ministry or whatever else we have. The only thing that really holds people to faithfulness is the cross of Christ. The gospel is the story of the cross. And the message that we believe, the message that we are to share, is one of the cross. And so as Paul would teach in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when he was talking to the Corinthian people who had all kinds of earthly wisdom, and yet they were struggling because, as he said, the Jews demand a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. The message we have may not be wise to the world, it may not make sense to the world, but the message we as the church preach is one of Christ on the cross dying for your sins, giving you the choice. You can either accept Him or you can reject Him, but what you do with Him will affect your eternal destination. You see, we should boast in the cross because it is our message. It's what we preach. It's what we hold to. It's what we stake our very hope upon. And so we don't sell the cross. We preach the cross. And finally, why should we boast in the cross? Because it is our salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter would say, in no other name on earth, no other name on earth or heaven can we be saved. I must needs go home by the way of the cross, the song says. For there is no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. You see, we are not saved by good works, by enormous gifts, by the Ten Commandments, by living the golden rule, or by men or popularity. We are not let into heaven because we've given more, because we've been better. We're not let into heaven because of the years we came to church. We're let into heaven because of the cross. If Paul, who did all these things, if Paul, who accomplished all these things as the great apostle, who wrote so much of the New Testament, could say this, that he boasted in nothing else except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, then surely you and I should say, I have nothing else to boast in except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is how we are saved. In Romans chapter 5, Paul would say in verse number 9, right after talking about the love of God in verse 8, he says, since therefore we have now been justified by His blood. We've been justified by His blood. Much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. We are saved by the wrath of God because we are justified by His blood. When you're laying there at night, and you're thinking about your life, you're thinking about what you can boast in. Now, we may not use that word, but that's what we do many times. When you're looking at others and you're comparing your life on social media to everything else that they have on social media that they can boast in, and they think about all the things that others have, and you get to feeling a little down about yourself, or you get to wanting to list off all the things you have to boast in and take glory in and take credit for, I will remind you to look at the cross and realize that the main thing, the only thing we should be putting our hope in is the cross. In Galatians, our passage that we've been studying, Paul is talking about in chapter 6, verse 14, about how we should not boast in anything except the cross. But back in chapter 2, verse 20, in the same chapter earlier, same book earlier, he had said this, "For I have been crucified with Christ. For it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul could boast only in the cross because Paul saw himself as crucified with Jesus. He saw Jesus as giving his life for him. He loved me and gave himself for me. When you think about why we should boast, Paul said, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." When you think about your own life and you think about boasting, I want you to go with me in your mind's eye just for a moment and contemplate someone taking your arm and holding it out, and a strong man putting a long spike through the palm or wrist of your hand, and then stretching out your other hand and putting the same thing in that, and then taking your feet and crossing them over and putting a long spike through your ankles or feet. You think about being laid there basically naked to very little clothing after having been beaten awfully by a scourge, whipped unmercifully. You think about what that would feel like, and you think about as they would take that cross and lift it up and set it down in a hole, and the crowds go by and ridicule you and hell blasphemies at you and spit at you, and they put a crown of thorns upon your head and they're making fun of you. You think about what that would be like for you to experience that, how awful that would be. And I want you to think about that's what Jesus experienced for you. Who would you do that for? Would you do that for the whole world? Would you do that for those people that were railing at you, that were persecuting you, that were hailing those insults at you? Would you do that for those thieves on either side of you who were also saying blasphemies about him and hurling insults about him? Would you do that for those two individuals who deserve to be on the cross? Yet Jesus did it for all of us. Would you do it for yourself, knowing your sin, knowing how far you have messed up and how bad you've messed up and the mistakes you made? Do you deserve that? You see, it's the grace of God. And because of that, because of the extreme amount of love God had, because of the great sacrifice, that's why we should not boast in anything else. And so how does it make Jesus feel when we put up our other idols and our other boasting above the cross? And we make them superior to the cross after he did that for us. If you need to put Christ on in baptism this morning, to be united with Christ's death so that you can say, "I've been crucified with Christ," if you need to do that this morning, we will assist you in doing that. If you need to be restored or rededicate your life to the Lord and come back because you've been boasting in other things besides the cross, if you need to come back and say, "I want to boast only in the cross," then come as together we stand and as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow him. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back.
We'd like to welcome you once again this morning, invite you back any opportunity you have to worship with us. We'll be assembling again tonight at 6 p.m. and on Wednesday nights at 7.